Father God, we come to you this morning because you're our Heavenly Father. You have everything that we desire, everything that we need. You are just magnificent. And we come to you this morning and we declare that our eyes are open, that our ears are open, our heart is prepared. And Father, I thank you that you will speak to people today exactly what they need in the wonderful plans that you have for them. We give you praise for the word. We give you praise and for the Jesus, our Savior. We thank you for revelation and understanding in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Good. Praise God. Well, we've been teaching a series on the subject of faith. Today is the last Sunday. I can't believe I did 6 weeks. I haven't done 6 weeks of anything in a long time. 6 weeks of exercise, whatever. Okay, only kidding. But if you were not able to be here for any of those, I'm telling you, they were all good and they all built on what the subject of faith. So in front of you are envelopes, the offering envelopes. On the inside of there, it's at the very bottom. If you want to get a free CD, just say, I want all of the faith series, and we'll get them to you. They are always in the back, in the corner. You get to pick them up. I'm not mailing, okay? So that, or better yet, go listen to them online whenever you feel like it. Just press the button, and you can listen to them. So it's been really good. Actually, it has sharpened, I hope you got something out of it, but I want to tell you, it has sharpened my walk of faith. Personally, I got my socks blessed off. It has sharpened areas in my life. As I would prepare, I'm like, oh, yeah, ooh, that's good. Got to do that. You know, so the word of God will bring light, not just for you, for me. So I've totally enjoyed it. But we're going to wrap up today. And so we've been looking at the subject of faith and the different stages. There's actually stages of faith, the faith walk. Now, I'd love to tell you the day you received Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, that life was going to be a bowl full of cherries. It wasn't. It is not. We live in a cursed world, and sometimes life gets really hard. Sometimes we go through situations that are just tough, all right? But if you put your faith in God, he guarantees he'll walk you through it, all right? So I think we need to know about faith, because that's the only way you're going to walk through it. So week one, I'm just going to go over a review of week one, and then we're going to get in today's message. Week one, I asked three questions. Question number one, what is faith? What is faith? This should be a quiz. I should ask you, what is it? Because we've been going over it every week. But we said faith is simply what you believe. Write that down. Faith is simply what you believe, what you're convicted of, what you're convinced of, what you're persuaded about. So it was real interesting this past summer, I don't know, somewhere in the summer, I was with some people and they were telling me something they were persuaded about. They go, Pastor D, you know, we've been really studying the economics of this nation. And we are persuaded come September, there is going to be an economical crash and people are going to lose all their money. Ah! Now, that's what they were persuaded of. But I have this Bible and I decided I would not get in fear. I decided I'd be persuaded about what this says. All right. So listen, a lot of people are persuaded about a whole bunch of junk. All right, but we need to be persuaded about what the Bible says. And the Bible says, there's going to be tough times, but God loves his children and he'll walk them through it. You know, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he walked them through it and they didn't even smell like smoke. So when things are just, you know, going crazy around you, you declare what God says. All righty, amen. So, but if you don't listen, fear, if you get into that fear because somebody was persuaded that everything's going to crash, it'll take you in a direction of faith that's not faith. It'll take you in a wrong direction. So listen, I just want to encourage you. You need to be convinced of only what the word says. Okay? Only what the word says. The red letters. You know all the red letters in here when Jesus is talking? That's what you get persuaded and convicted of. Amen? Okay, our second question we asked is, how does faith come? That was our second question. And by now you all know the answers. Romans. Thank you. Romans 10:17. It says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Actually, the word hearing in the original Greek is a continual tense. It means hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. So to say, I heard it once. I heard it once. Oh yeah, someone said that once. That's not what the scripture says. Faith comes by hearing and hearing continually and hearing continually and hearing continually. And so you better know where your Bible is. You know, the end of next week, you go, gosh, I don't know where my Bible is all week. Well, you got problem, baby. You need to have the word in you continue, all righty? So, actually, faith comes by hearing currently. I'm going to throw that word in there, currently. So currently, let me say this, I'm sorry. So what you're currently listening to will be the direction your life's going to go. What's the saying? Garbage in, garbage out. If you're listening to garbage and garbage and garbage, and listen, you know, Friday night when the news hit, I did about 2 hours of it, and I realized, turn that off and go to prayer, okay? Because it was current and current and linen, okay? So how many of you would say it is important to watch what you're listening to? All right? And faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. We need to keep hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. Okay, last question. We said, how do we release our faith? How do we release our faith? How do we release our faith into our circumstances? That's a good question. And you know, Jesus answered that. Turn over to Mark 11:23. All right, Mark 11:23. Jesus answered this. All right, I didn't answer this. Jesus answered it. Mark 11:23. Okay. He says, if you say to the mountain, anybody ever had some mountains in your life? Oh, dear Lord. I think Mount Everest one day was camped out in my backyard. Okay. Have you ever had mountains in your life? Okay. So Jesus says, if you will say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, don't doubt in your heart, and believe what you say, you will have what you say. Now, in case you didn't know, a TV preacher didn't write that. It wasn't some TV faith preacher that wrote that. It was Jesus who said that, because mine's in red letters. Jesus said, if you would say to the mountain... Okay? By the way, Jesus was a faith preacher. Ha! All right. People, oh, those are a bunch of faith preachers. Who do you think Jesus was? Guys, he was amazing. He is amazing. Sorry about it. Okay. So Jesus said you can have whatever you say. Second scripture, James. You know, just write it down. You can look it up later. James 3. James is the half-brother of Jesus. That's his big brother. Jesus, okay? And he writes in James, he says, we put bits in horses' mouths, and little bits, and we can get them to turn whichever way we want, right? Anybody remember reading that? And then it says, we have little tiny rudders on the back of big ships, and they can turn any way we want to. Anybody know that to be true? Okay. Then it says, the same thing's true with your tongue. Your tongue will get your life going any way you want to. Most of the time you realize that is not where I want to go. All right. So he was saying, out of your mouth will come words that'll get you going wherever you want to go. But the problem is a lot of times we're going in places such as I used to say, this person just drives me crazy. They're nuts. Okay, so I'm working on, and the Lord says, oh, really now? oh, really now? I go, what? And then he had me read this scripture, all right? Out of the mouth will come words that'll take your life in any way you desire to go. I don't want to be nuts. I don't want that person to be nuts. So I had to think about my words. Okay? Anybody ever have to do that? Oh, every day, baby. So, whichever way your life is going, you can change its direction, just like that bit in the horse's mouth. Amen? All right. Now, Hebrews 11, we've talked about earlier in the series, and we call it the hallmark of faith guys. And it's about people who were walking in faith, putting their faith in God. And then amazing things happened. We've got Isaac and Moses and, I can't even remember all of them. Okay, just a whole bunch of them, okay? And they're there because they did what they did because they put their faith in God. They actually believed God, put their faith in God, okay? Now, turn over to Hebrews 11:6. So I want to read one scripture to you. I really have about 20 scriptures today, but this is the first one. No, I'm only kidding. Okay, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Everybody say that. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Did you notice it didn't say, but without grace, it's impossible to please God? It didn't say, but without love, it's impossible to please God. It didn't say that. What word did it say? So it says, it's impossible to please God without faith. So we should be thinking, oh my gosh, what can I do to increase the faith that God has given me? Because I want to please God, right? Alrighty, so it's impossible to please God without faith. The second part it says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. How many of you believe that God exists? Good. Now, if you don't, that's okay. I believe that God is, that he exists. All right. Now, the next part, it says, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, it didn't say those that diligently seek Facebook. Those that diligently seek Randy, hunting, exercising. What did it say? It says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, Jesus. So God will reward you if you diligently seek him. The Greek says that word reward means payday. Who loves payday? Payday at YCF is on Wednesday. I think it's a wonderful day. Payday. So y'all like payday? But listen, it's not talking about money. It says if you're seeking God, there's a payday. If you're seeking God about your kids that are not, they're over here and they're supposed to be over there, if you're diligently seeking God about that, there's a payday. If you're seeking God diligently about your marriage, all right, and you're speaking the word over your marriage, you're diligently doing that, you're not cussing them out, all right, there's a payday. Really? Yeah. Okay. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder, a paydayer of those who diligently seek him. All right. Now, part of seeking him is coming to church. Pat yourself on the back. That meant you're seeking God. That means you're going to get rewarded. There's coffee in the back afterwards. Okay? But really, this is a place we had worship. So don't miss it. Don't come in late for worship, man. My team, you guys were great. Thank you. Okay? So we've got worship. That's a payday. That's a rewarding coming together to worship, coming together and hearing the word of God, then coming together and just yapping yourselves happy, talking to everybody. Those are just part of the rewards of coming to church. Okay, got my plug in for that. All right. Now, today, I want to talk about Abraham, this guy, Abraham. We're going to look at Abraham's life, and we're going to go over the first four stages that we've been talking about for 5 weeks. For 5 weeks, we've talked about stage one, stage two, stage three, four, five. We're going to talk about his life and go over these stages, and then I'm going to give you the last two, and the last one's the kicker, so don't leave. All righty? So Abraham, what do you know about Abraham, guys? He's called the father of our... He's called the father of our... Yeah, it also says we're supposed to look at him and pattern our life after him. He's somebody worth watching, right? If you're supposed to do that. Now, really interesting thing about Abraham, he was not a perfect guy. Okay, anybody perfect in this place? Anybody imperfect in this place? You're going to love Abraham. You're going to look great. Okay, so he wasn't perfect by a long shot. Matter of fact, I think it's in chapter 15, but that's all right, we'll get there. God told Abraham, I want you to leave your county, leave your country, okay? Leave your country. By the way, leave Pennsylvania, all right? Leave your country and leave your family. Those are the directions that God gave him. So it's real interesting when you read that. It's real interesting is that he didn't listen to the directions because he took his nephew with him, Lot. All right, so here's this guy who I just love because he's not perfect because he is not listening. He is not following the directions. The second thing that makes him imperfect is he told a lie twice. Two different kings twice. And he lied and he said Sarah's his wife. I mean, sister, thank you. Should have told the truth, all right? So don't raise your hand, but how many of you have gotten into trouble because you didn't quite exactly tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? Don't raise your hand. We'll know you were a liar, okay? But listen, this is the deal about Abraham. He was a human being, not perfect, made some mistakes, and God still worked through his life. So that is why I like looking at Abraham. That is why we are told to look at his life and pattern our life after him. Not the lying part, right? Not the lying part. Turn over to Genesis 12. This is going to be our first, second scripture, whatever scripture. Here we go. Genesis 12. We're going over the stages of faith. I want to show you how they worked in Abraham's life. Genesis, y'all have their paper? It's written up here. Hallelujah. Genesis 12, 1 and 2. Now the Lord said to Abram, because he's not Abraham yet, okay, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. I remember being a teenager thinking, couldn't I have gotten that direction? I get to leave my dad's house. Oh, all they do is make you do things. Little did I know that was a good place. All right. Okay, so get out from your father's house to a land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you, and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham's about 75 years old there, and you know what God did? First stage of faith, he put a dream in him. He put a hope and a dream into Abraham that your life is going to be so blessed, your socks won't even stay on, right? God put a dream in his heart. So that's the first stage, all right? And I like the last part. Anybody messes with you, they're going to be cursed. That's pretty good, all right? So how about if God puts a dream in your heart? We were talking, I think our second week, we were talking about when God puts a dream in your heart, it's usually a dream that life can be better, that things can get better. That's a good way to have a dream in your heart, right? So if God puts a dream in your heart, the next thing is you have to take a step of faith and do it. It's so nice. I mean, I get around people and they're telling me all these dreams, but the next part's really important. You have to take a step. So step number two. Decision. Let's read verse 4. So Abraham departed. That's the step part. He made a decision and he stepped out. Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Okay. Faith will always bring you to a point of decision. If you're in faith, you've got the dream, then you're in faith, you've got to do something. You have to take a step. You just can't sit on your laurels, guys. All right? Otherwise, you're just going to write a wish book. All right? Faith requires you to take a step. And for you guys, listen, I don't know what steps God spoke. I don't know your dreams, but I don't know the steps. And you can ask him. He'll tell you what steps to take. All right? So let's just say God's dealing with you to start a business. All right? Well, you can have that dream in your heart for 60 years. And unless you take a step, it's just a dream. All right? Nothing's going to happen. So God is going to deal with your heart to do something. You have to make decisions, all righty? Now, for some of you, you know, it might not be a big thing. Okay, I'm going to rag on the ladies. It might be you need to just show your husband respect. You just need to just treat him nice and be kind to him. That might be all the big step in your life. You're going, oh, dear Jesus, Lord, that's a big step. You know, and sometimes we just glamorize faith. God, will you send me, God's given me a dream to send me to India, to send me over here, to do this. Well, how about we just start with the little things at home and obey that? All right? And everybody, yeah, somebody just, I saw a guy give the elbow to his wife. All right? You know, okay, way back in the day, I'd read those books about the Romeo guys and stuff like that. And you can get, so you laugh, you read those. I won't even tell you the authors. And you can get these dreams in your head about what your spouse is supposed to be doing and acting and looking like. Okay? That's nice. That's a dream. But maybe the dream says you have to make a decision and you have to start treating him like he looks like that. Okay? And that he acts like that guy in the novel that you're reading. All righty? Yeah, that was a long time ago. Okay. Anyway. All right. Stage number three. What is it? Delays. Okay. So we talked about you find out God puts a dream in your heart, hope in your heart. And then you pray about that. Father God, you said that this can be mine. So you pray about. And you're waiting for this thing to happen over here. And what do we say this part is in the middle? It's called a delay. A delay is when things are just taking long. I mean long. I mean long. Okay? So what do you do when you're in a delay? Anybody ever been in a delay? Anybody have a hunk of those? All right. So what do you do? Well, really, before I answer that, what we found out many times, while you're in that delay, God's doing something in you. Are you kidding me, God? I want you to get me over here. No, God is doing something in you. And God is saying, I want to do something in you so I can get you all the way over here. Oh, God, I'm in the delay. Hurry up. And he's going, hey, D, I'm trying to do something in you so you can get over here and I can give you what you've been praying about. So I know. Anybody like that? Are you kidding me? That's a bummer. All right? No, I don't like that. Okay, now turn over to Genesis 16:1 and let's talk about a delay. What to do in a delay or what not to do in a delay. Okay, before I get there, 16:1, how many of you have ever been in a delay? How many of you are in a delay? How many of you have prayed and you are right in here, but you really want to be right over here? So while I'm over here, I will do this. God, you obviously don't know what you're doing. I got a plan. Anybody ever done that? I have. I've done some plans. Okay, and this is what happened here. It says, now Sarah, Abram's wife, had bore him no children. They're in a delay, right? And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name is Hagar. All righty. Now, So what happens is Sarah goes, "Hey, honey, you know, I have this maid, and, you know, I just think you should consider this plan that I have, and we can get this whole delay over with." All right, and Abraham's probably thinking, "Seriously? Seriously? You want me to go do that? Oh, thank you, Lord." God. So he does. He goes in and he has a child with the plan B. All right? Seriously? And the child's name is Ishmael. Now, any of you that have studied the Word of God, this child is Ishmael, and all the problems that Israel is having even till today is because of this child and the nation it came out of. So, sometimes when you cook up these plans and the delay, you've got things really messed up for a while. I'm not even going to tell you when I did, but if I would have just stayed in this delay and let God work in my heart, it would have saved me a bunch of money because my plan that I cooked up. Anybody ever cook up some plans? And all right, then you went from plan A to plan B to plan C, all because, "God, I have an idea. I have a better idea. I can't quite figure out yours, so I'm going to do my plan." Jerrell's shaking her head like, "Oh, dear Jesus. Oh, dear Jesus." And, you know, probably when you start plan A, plan A is God has things planned out for you. But when you get to plan B, C, and D, God's probably saying, "Hey, listen, stop doing it. That's why you're in a delay. All right. And why don't you just stop it and wait on me? I'm doing something in you. Don't you worry. Have faith in what I spoke to you. Have faith in the dream I planted in your heart. You are going to get there." All right. All right. Everybody say delay. How many would agree that delays are a bummer sometime? But sometimes God's working in you. Right. So you should be going, "Okay. All right, God, just work me over. I'm ready. Go ahead. Work me over." By the way, the delay that happened over there with Abraham and Sarah at that time, he is now 86 years old. God spoke to him when he was 75, and he's 86 years old. I would have cooked up a whole bunch of plans by then. So anyway, all right, next one. What are we on? Stage 4, difficulties. Difficulties. So God has come to Abraham and he said, "Hey, listen, Abraham, you're going to have a child. This child is going to have the child, and you're going to now also be the father of many nations. You are going to have this child. You're going to have this child." Okay. But he's 99 years old. They have some difficulties. All righty. Now turn over to Genesis 17:17. Genesis 17:17. Can you imagine? God spoke to you when you were 75. Now you're 99. And you're going, "God, I'm supposed to have a baby. I'm looking at her. I'm looking at me. I'm supposed to have a baby. Okay? This looks just a little difficult, Lord. Matter of fact, maybe even a little impossible." Okay? So 17:17. I'm trying to find it. Where is it? Oh, okay. I'm going to read out of the New Living. "Then Abraham bowed down." This is when God told him, "You're going to have a child again." "And Abraham bowed down to the ground, but he laughed to himself in disbelief. 'How could I become a father at the age of 100? He thought. "And how can Sarah have a baby when she's 99? All right. So this is me doing the cartoon in my head. All right, so God just told you that, and he's probably thinking, "Now listen, God, I know I married a younger woman. I love those younger women, okay? But God, she's now 100. She's now 100. Did you look at her? Did you look at me? All right, it kind of looks impossible." But you know what Abraham did? It says he fell on his face and started laughing. Most of you wouldn't be laughing. Oh, dear Jesus. No, you'd be crying. God, got enough? I'm done? Really? Carl family, tell them you're done. I don't need another child, right? Okay. He's in a difficulty. You only have two and you're shaking your head, Matt. They're a lot of work. You better believe it. Okay. So on the serious side, all of us go through difficulties in life. Okay. Some days I think I own them. All of them. All right. Difficulties in life. But the same thing that Abraham did is what we're going to have to do. And that's what I want to talk about next. What did he do in this difficult time? Which leads us to stage five. Genesis 22. Boy, we're just sticking here. Genesis 22. At this point in Genesis 22, we're calling this difficulties. Oh, excuse me. What are we on? Stage five. Dead end. Excuse me. So at this point, Abraham and Sarah have their child. They have Isaac. Okay? They have the baby. They have the promise. Oh, goody, goody, goody. They have a baby. Okay? Okay, Genesis 22, 1. And the Lord... Am I reading out of the New Living? Yes, okay. Sometime later, because they had the baby, God tested Abram's faith. Abram, God called. Yes, he replied, I'm here. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. Okay, how many of you have felt that you have hit a dead end in your faith journey? Like, bam, everything's just gotten triple times worse, like you hit the brick wall. Well, that's exactly what happened here. Are you kidding me, God? You gave me this son, and now you want me to sacrifice him? I would say that's like a dead end time, right? Okay. Now, before I tell you some things about this, the dead end part, this story in the Bible is here for a whole bunch of reasons. Okay. Matter of fact, there's layers of reasons. And I just want to pull one out so you can see how big your God is, how big he is, and he knows where you are. I always like that. God, do you know where I am? I live at 4173 Palmer Avenue, in case you don't know. This story will just show you how big God is and the big plans he has. So before God was going to sacrifice his own son, because when you read that, didn't it sound familiar? Right? Go and sacrifice him whom you love so much. Doesn't that sound like God who sacrificed his son? Right? So before God's going to sacrifice his son, all right, he speaks to Abraham way back there. He speaks to Abraham way back there, all right? And he says, I want you to go sacrifice your son because I want to see if you'll be obedient. If you really love me, I'm first in your life and you'll be obedient, all right? So now what you have to understand is, when he spoke to Abraham way back in the Old Testament, it was actually a prophecy of what God was going to do because he loves us so much in the New Testament. It was prophetic. All right? So it was prophetic. And God is saying, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. But come the New Testament time, later on, I'm going to sacrifice my son. And you want to hear about the prophetic about this? Do you know the place that God told? I can get it out. Do you know the place, Pat, where God told Abraham to go sacrifice his son? The same place where Jesus would be sacrificed on a cross. Seriously. All right. So if you think God doesn't know every hair on your head and the little problem or the big problem you have, these are days that speaks to me. God, you're so big and you love me so much that you've got things planned out. Amen. Okay, so, but really think about this. He tells Abraham to go to this Mount Moriah, put his son on an altar and sacrifice him. And it's going to be the exact same place that Jesus died on a cross for us. Crazy. Wonderful. All right. So here's my question. What would you do if you've put your son, you've gathered all the sticks, you've put your son on an altar, you've got your knife ready to stab your son. You're ready to sacrifice your son. What do you do during those times? So what do you do? Because listen, if anybody voice tells you to go sacrifice your son, just go check yourself into 3 Northeast. You're not hearing the right voice. Okay, guys, seriously. Okay. But in life, when we hit the wall, the dead end, what do you do? Okay, some of you want to cry and moan and complain to everybody. Oh my gosh, this is horrible. Nothing's working. We'll never get out of here. I don't think that's what God wants you to do. What do you do when you have those dead end times? Okay, number one, it's on your list. Stay focused. Stay focused. Everybody say focused. Okay, and all that means is get refocused back on what God told you. Get refocused on what the word says about the situation you're in. All right? Okay, Genesis 5. Let me show you how he refocuses. Genesis 15, verse 5. Genesis 15, verse 5. I love the way God just helps you out. I just love it. All right? Genesis 5, verse 15. And then he brought him, Abraham, outside and he said, look now towards heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. What did God just do? Abraham's going, oh my gosh, I got you. He got him back on the promise. He got him back focused. Okay. He got him back focused. And guys, I don't know about you, but when I'm going through some really difficult times, I've had some really difficult, bad reports. I can either go splat the 2-year-old temper tantrum in front of the candy aisle, okay? Or I get my focus back on what God spoke to me. Back on what, that's the only way you're going to do it. I've tried. I've kicked on the floor and cried and called everybody up and complained. I can't believe I'm in this mess, okay? So what do you have to do? You have to refocus back on what God said. So get real quiet right now. If you're in a difficult situation or time right now, I don't care if it's your finances, it's with your kids, or it's relationships, it's with your job, and you're in that difficult time, what does God say about it? Oh, you just can just sit in that. That's not what God says. What has God said to you about that situation? And that's what you need to say. You need to say what God says, all right? Okay, take for instance, I told this story before. Jesus is walking on the water, right? Remember that? The disciples are in the boat. Jesus is walking on the water. He sort of thinks he's going to just walk right by them. Peter sees them and he goes, whoa, Lord, tell me to come out there with you. And what does Jesus say? Come on, man. So Peter climbs out of the water and Peter walks on the water. Listen, guys. Peter walks on the water. I've heard some really outlandish reports, but the one I've never heard, somebody else walking on the water. Anybody know anybody that's walked on the water? What's that magazine? Charisma Today? They have all those testimonies? Guys, 2 people walked on the water, Jesus and Peter, okay? Pretty cool. But all of a sudden, Peter takes his eyes off Jesus. The wind's going, and he just loses it. And what happens to Peter? He starts sinking. But this is our Jesus. He will pull you out of your difficult situation. He will yank you up and get you back to a good place. That's the God we serve, even when we get our focus off. And I have had focus off. And you know, God loves me so much. Cracks me up how much. Some days I'm going, wow. And he has pulled me out of my difficult situations because I was having a splat on the floor. And he brought me back to a place where I remembered who my God was and that he loved me. He has a great plan and a hope and a future for my life. And he has promised me wonderful things. I was like, okay, I'm back there. Okay, so number 2, what do you do when you're in a dead end time? Manage your emotions. We talked about that last week, just a little bit. How many of you people, none of you, how many of you have friends? They're like the roller coasters on their emotions. Psh, psh, psh. They walk in one day and you look at their face and go, oh man, she's got it today. She is just, rah. Okay? I have some people like that. Their emotions, they just fly by them. All right? Can you imagine being married to that? All right. Don't say that to anybody. Okay. So I said this last week and I love it. Emotions, if you're led by them, if you just like your emotions for whatever reason happens that day, they will take you places you don't want to go. All right. Now, some days they're happy days. That's wonderful. But some days they're not. And your emotions will take you places you don't want to go. So we said last week, you have to be convinced first on the inside. First, when everything is saying no, when someone called you up and said it's bad, and this happened and it's bad, and that happened and it's terrible, and this happened and oh my gosh, you have to know first on the inside that God said yes, that God said I'm the deliverer, that God said I'm the provider, that God said I'm the restorer. You have to know that first. Or else you're going to be psh, 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 the guy with the emotions, all right? So what do you have to know first? What God says. All righty. Now, how many of you have been on a cruise boat? How many of you have also or seen those big military ships? I was down in Baltimore this summer, and they had a couple of the military ships docked. Have you ever looked at those military ships or big ships like that? And they have an anchor, right? And they drop it. But the amazing thing that's so interesting to me is these ships are like a mile long and the anchor's really not that big. I mean, it's big, but compared to the ship, it's really not that big. It's kind of amazing. So turn over to Hebrews 6. Let me tell you about that anchor. Unless you have this anchor, you will be the emotional roller coaster in life. All right. And I'm telling you what. It's no fun to live with you. It's no fun to have you as a friend. And it does terrible things to your body on top of it, okay? You guys at Hebrews 6? Hebrews 6, I'm not. Hang on. I'm at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 6, 19. Here we go. And this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. This hope is to anchor your soul, your emotions. What is the hope? My hope is the Word of God. My hope is God and His promises. My hope is what Jesus has done for my life. This hope will anchor you. It'll stabilize you so you're not going, psh, psh, okay? So what's the purpose of an anchor? Hope, to keep you stable. When you go through things, and again, I'm telling you, I just would love you just to get Jesus into your heart, and then you can just have a great old life. But life just comes at you, and it's not. Especially if you add some kids to the formula, all right? Especially if you own a house then. Things are breaking. The boiler blows up, all right? So what you need to have is an anchor in God's Word in those situations. Keep you steady. That's okay. I don't care if the roof flies off. I don't care if the horses and the dog run away. I don't care. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has said, okay, He has said. So an anchor, hope is an anchor that you need. Amen. All right. So, and the Word of God is it. Last one, number three. What do you do when you're against a dead end time? Face the facts. I love these people. Matter of fact, someone did it today. I'm not even going to look at you. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. Are you kidding me? You're not doing great. Okay? This happened and this happened and this happened. We do not deny the facts. But I will speak the word and my Father God will change him. All right? The bill collectors are pounding your phone and they're coming to repo your car. You can't deny they're not there. All right? You come off as a bunch of flakes when you do that, guys. And then you want to say, oh, Jesus, Jesus. They don't want your Jesus. All right? So Sherry and I were talking about nuts, fruits, and flakes. Amen. All righty. So we don't deny the reality, but turn over to Romans 4. Romans 4:20, because this is what Abraham did. Romans 4:20. Here we go. Romans 4:20. He, meaning Abraham, did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief. So he didn't waver, even though he was looking at his body, he was looking at Sarah's body. He wasn't denying the woman's 90 years old. I'm looking at his, and I'm 99 years old. I'm going to have babies. So he didn't deny it. It says, I forgot where I am. What verse is that? 20. Thank you, Jesus. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So when you get the problem, I have a problem. Did you look at my checking account? I have a problem. But I am now looking to God. Father God, I thank you. I have done the things you said to do. I thank you, Father, that you are called a provider. And I thank you. Okay? He gave thanks. He gave thanks. So what did Abraham do? He kept giving thanks that God was going to do what he said he'd do. All right? And that's how we ended last week's service. And I had everybody say, oh, Pastor D, that was just so much fun. That was so great. All we did last week is we got into a place of just praising him and thanking him and thanking him and praising him for the answers. Praising him and thanking him for the answers. Praising him and thanking him for the answers. Praising him and thanking him for the answers. God, did you look at my body and the woman's 90 years? God, I'm going to praise you and thank you that you said you'd do this and it'll be done. I praise you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. All right? You have to thank him. So, what do you do when things just really look impossible? You're going to give glory to God for what he said he's done. Amen? All righty. Let me think what I can, how can I wrap this up? Oh my gosh. All righty. Go back at, turn over back to, are we at Genesis? Turn to back to Genesis 22. Genesis 22. Verse 13 and 14. Genesis 22, 13 and 14. Then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Okay. This is the story where Abraham, God told him, this is your only, your beloved son. Now I want you now go take him to Mount Moriah. I want you to build an altar. I want you to sacrifice him. And he's all ready to do that. He's all ready to do that. And the Lord cries out, Abraham, don't do that. All right. The Lord cries out and delivers him right at the right spot. Don't do that. All right. Where am I? Verse 13. And let me back up. And the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here am I. And he said, don't lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For I now know that you fear God or obey him, since you have not withheld from me your son, your only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there was a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. So Abraham went and took the ram, offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the place, the Lord will be with you. If you have a King James Version, it's called the Lord, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. Anybody have ever heard that? Jehovah Jireh. All right. So what does Jehovah Jireh mean? I'm going home. The Lord will provide. Now, the best part about that is the Lord's going to provide even before you know you need it. The Lord provides even before you know. That's the kind of God we have. He knows everything. He provides before. He has provision even before. So you're sitting there sweating at night. You're waking up and going, oh my gosh, how are we going to do this? What are we going to do? The Lord has already provided. So, if the Lord's already provided, what ought you be doing? Father God, I just thank you that you have provided a way out. I thank you, Father, this is not a dead end. You are my deliverer. Thank you, Father God. I thank you that this has already been provided. It's mine. You are bringing it to me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Good night, honey. I'm going to sleep. Okay? That's how you do it. So, let me give you a couple examples of God the deliverer. Because sometimes we think, oh, that never happens to me. Okay, let me give you some examples. First one, children of Israel. Children of Israel, they're crying out to God. God hears their cry and he sends Moses. Everybody know the story? Moses miraculously is able to get how many billion of Jews, millions and billions of Jews, out of Israel, okay? They're following Moses and they're leaving their bondage, okay? They're leaving, and they're so excited, they hit the Red Sea, they get to the Red Sea, and they hear, they turn around, they hear that noise, and it's Pharaoh and his armies. And they're on the back of their heels. And what does God do? He says, Moses, lift up your rod, and God delivers them. He splits the Red Sea. How many of you can believe that God will deliver you? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has no favorites except for me. Okay, I always say that. I'm his favorite. And if he delivered, split the Red Sea and got them through their problem, he'll do that for you. Amen. How about Joseph? The story of Joseph. Joseph's got these wonderful big brothers, and they decide to capture him and sell him. And he ends up in prison in a foreign country. He's not in your county jail, baby, where they have flat screen TVs and three meals a day. And you get to play basketball outside. Okay? He's in a foreign country in prison, and God promotes him to leadership. And then God gives him some dreams. And next thing we know, God makes him second in command of Egypt. He's a foreigner. As my dad used to say, he's a foreigner. I was like, what? Foreigner from Brooklyn. Okay. Listen, God delivered Joseph from a really bad situation. God's the deliverer. All right. How about, who is it? Is it Peter and Silas? Oh, okay. I'll get to that one. How about Peter? That's it. Peter. Let's do a New Testament one. Peter ends up by getting thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. All right, he's in jail preaching the gospel, and all his Christian buddies go over to Ruth's house, and they're going to have a prayer meeting. Come on, everybody, Ruth, we're going to pray for Peter. So they're having this all-night prayer meeting. Oh, what do you think they prayed for a guy who's in prison who's going to get his life taken from him? God, get Peter out, right? Okay, it's not too complicated. You do not have to be born again 25 years to pray. All right, so they're praying, God, open the doors, get Peter out, Father, keep him safe. So they're in the middle of their all-night prayer meeting at Ruth's house, right? And Peter is in jail, sound asleep, and an angel wakes him up. Okay, wakes him up, and Peter's like, oh, must be dreaming. And he goes, no! So the angel wakes him up, and he takes him through the prison, out the front door. And the angel's gone. So Peter's like, oh, I should go to where the all-night prayer meeting is. So he goes over to Ruth's house, knocks on the door, okay? And some guy runs down. Oh my gosh, it's Peter! And he leaves Peter at the door, runs upstairs, and he goes, guys, Peter's here. No, what are you, we're praying for him. Peter's in jail and we're here, we're praying for him. And he goes, no, Peter's here. So what do you think just happened? God answered their prayer. God delivered. Now, you will not pray. You will not go to the Lord and just spill your guts out of him in prayer, which I do regularly, unless you believe he is. He's the rewarder. Okay? So some people, I go, oh, how's your prayer life? Huh? Okay. Back up, Pastor D. You will not pray unless you believe he is a rewarder and he's the deliverer. So as soon as you get, the first thing should be the prayer. Not, oh, I guess we better pray. We tried everything else. First thing, I'm going to go to the Lord because he's my deliverer. He's my deliverer. And the last one I want to do is Paul and Silas. We did that last week. We talked about it. Paul and Silas are in jail. They're in prison. They've got stocks on them and they're in the really stinky, inky part. Okay. And they pray and they pray and they sing and they pray and everybody hears them. And next thing you know, there's this just earthquake and the chains fall off and all the doors open. And the jailer, the head jailer, Matt, what do we call the head jailer? Oh, Matt, make my story easy. Come on, tell me. The warden, he looks around at all the doors open. And he's ready. He goes, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be in trouble. I might as well just kill myself. He's ready to kill himself. And Paul cries out, don't do that. We're all here. And he falls, the jailer falls on his face and says, what must I do to be saved? Now, I think there was a lot to that statement. I think it's because he was listening to those guys all night, singing praises and thanksgivings to the Lord. He was listening to them pray to their God, the one and only. And then he was listening to them all night long. And then when this really strange earthquake happens, he knew, I want to serve that God. And you know the rest of the story. Da-da-da-da. Okay. Da-da-da-da. All right. How do we end this? Gosh, I don't know. How many of you just have some dead-end situations? They have been in a dead end for a little bit. How about a long bit? All right. So what do we do? What do? You put your faith in God. Now, you won't have anything to stand on unless you get the Word. So you're going to have to take some time and get into the Word. You can go to my bookstore. We've got some cheat sheets in there. They're called little books on how to pray, on what to pray, okay? And you're going to have to get into the Word of God. And then you're going to say, God, you said, da, 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 da. And I believe that you are the rewarder. And I believe you've already provided my way of escape. And Father God, and now I'm going to thank you and I'm going to continue thanking you. I'm going to write it on the refrigerator, slap it up there and say, from this day forth, it is done. My God has delivered me from blankety, blankety, blank. And then when somebody asks, I'm not going to deny. I'm going to say, my God has delivered. My God has set me free. My God has provided. Amen. Amen. Let's close your eyes and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, I come to you and I lift up these people, Father, and I'm sure there are people here in situations that would take my breath away if I knew what's really going on. But Lord, you know, and you know they're hurting. You know the hurt, and you know the situation. And I pray that Holy Spirit, you would strengthen them. You would touch their heart. You would touch their heart, encourage them, strengthen them. That they would know that God, you are not dead. God, that you are by their side. That God, that they would know that you are and totally in love with them. And you are still, and you are the deliverer. I pray this, and Father, I thank you, Father, for a turning around from this moment forth, because we are thanking you for being our deliverer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, someone says, well, that was really nice, Pastor D. I'm really doing great. I got news. You probably know somebody whose life's not so great. And instead of saying, oh, honey, I'm so sorry to hear about that, turn around and say, listen, can I pray for you? I have an answer for you. I know someone who will get you through this time. I don't know how, but I know him, and I believe in him. And you pray in faith for him, okay? Amen. All righty. I love you guys. This big, you are the head and not the tail. You are above. No. You are blessed going in. Amen. And everything you set your hand to prospers. I thank you, Father, you fill their mouths with your word. And your Father, your word delivers and sets us in high places. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like prayer of agreement, I'd love to pray with you. Otherwise, the coffee's free.